Well, I was sitting next to a guy at dinner last night called Noel. He's a guy with a camera and a video. He looked at all the food and he looked at his pot tummy, I think, and then he looked at me and he looked at the food again and said, Barry, I think we should have an altar call of repentance for all those who eat too much tonight. So do we begin with that or do we finish with that? Be truthful now. How many of you guys ate too much last night, eh? How many? Isn't it tempting? Isn't it tempting? It is. It's tremendously tempting. Some put up two hands. Some even had two desserts after a three-course meal. Yeah, no, no, we're incredible. And the way we overeat, this is an area of life, you know, that I spoke on it last year up at Snell's. Oh, no, it was Red Beach. At the Red Beach for the Auckland seminar, I gave them a little talk about fitness and about health. Now, about the end, the stones start to fly, and it was only my speed that saved me from being stoned completely. But then I knew that God had hit the mark. There were so many guilty consciences there, they didn't know which way to look. It's very nice, too, to hear yourself described as a youthful Olympian, was it? Yeah. Thank you, Amius. I've just got to get your timing right. I am that man. I'm guilty. But now, of all the things, you know, I've had this, I think I've virtually spoken at every chapter in New Zealand, and God has, you know, honoured me and blessed me in so many ways in the sporting world, with two Olympics, two Commonwealth Games, Olympic bronze medal, and racing around the world, and 50 years of racing and doing things that for land, for God, for country, and for full gospelers, because, you know, I know God loves you guys, and I do too. Do you know, you guys, I feel closer to you than my own brother and my children? That's what full gospel businessmen can mean to guys. Now, some are hungry, some are lonely, and God has given me visions over the years that have shown me tremendously that full gospel, we need each other. And we are closer than family. Closer than family. And one of the greatest dreams I ever had in my life, and about 20 years ago, I was dreaming one night, and God took me out of the bed, or someone did, took me out. They took me out. I saw myself going over the house. I saw myself going up and up and up and up. I went right up as far, I don't know, the stratosphere, whatever it was. And then a voice said to me, they said, I want you now to look back. And I looked down, and I looked back, and there in the distance was a little world. The world was there. We seemed to be millions of miles away from the world. And the world was there, and he said, what do you see? What do you see, the voice said. And I looked at the world, and I saw that there were thousands and thousands and thousands or millions of little sparkly lights all over that big ball that was so far in the distance. And he said, do you know what that is? And I said, yes, that's the planet Earth. And he said, do you know what the little lights are? And I said, no, I don't know what those little lights are. What are those little lights? There's millions of them. And he said, the little lights are the hearts of men who are lonely and broken and sad. And that is what you can see. And I woke up crying my eyes out about for those men. You know, that's the fellowship of full gospel, and that's why we bring them in, as Amius tried to share. That's why I invited Amius to dinner. I saw something in Amius I knew that God could use tremendously. God met Amius in a prison cell. He'll meet you wherever you want. And he's always there. It doesn't matter where you are. And I thank God for Amius today. Now, he's doing a great job and in our chapter. But we are. I believe God has got a special plan for every human. And it's all about the quality of life and not just the quantity. It's all about the quality. I don't go for runs. I don't do things. I should be perhaps half dead with what I've done. I've probably run about 200,000 miles in my life. Now, this is ridiculous that I can, I run only 4 days a week now. for about 30 to 60 minutes a day. I can go out and run for 10 kilometres or what have you. But that's quite good for 70. That's quite good. And if you don't use it, you lose it. So it's all about the quality of life, guys. I don't care if I don't live for 150 or 1,000 years, like Methuselah and all those ancient people. They lived to a great, ripe old age. But we don't have to have that. But when we are awake and alive, you know, this is probably the graveyard session after lunch. Apart from Paul here said he's too scared to have any lunch. He said, Barry will be speaking later.
Oh, great.
So when I speak to Paul, his chest goes out and his stomach goes in. When I speak to people, their cigarettes go behind their back. It's amazing. I transform people. But I reckon God wants to transform us all. I'm talking about the heart and the human heart because God is more interested in your heart than in your brain, as you've found with Graham Eagle. You know, you don't have to have a great brain, but you have to have a heart that God loves. I mean, God created you. He created you, and you are perfect. You're wonderful. You're an incredible machine. And what we do with this machine, you know, because I know too much about it, it does concern me. In Genesis chapter 6, it says this. Then the Lord said, My spirit will not contend with man forever, for he is mortal. His days will be 120 years. 120 years. Genesis 6, verse 3. That's what it is there. Some of you might be living under the impression where it says in the Psalms about living, you know, 70 years or 80 with it. Well, I'm very grateful to Brian Mayle because he put me straight with that one, because it says in Psalm 90, verse 10, the length of our days is 70 years or 80 if we have the strength. Eh? And that's what we have accepted. What about God's plan in Genesis for you guys and all of us?
Well, the rebellion. They only lived that long.
That's exactly right. Brian has sent me all about that information about that. See, that was a curse that God placed on the people in their 40 years in the wilderness, that they would only live to 80. He wanted to produce a new bunch of people there with it, and so he limited their lives, and that's what the psalmist was talking about. Right, Brian? That's what the psalmist was talking about. So, the situation is, I believe, that Genesis is right. We should be living to 120 years healthily and good. Like Moses and Abraham, they all did, and their even their eyesight was still good, wasn't it, at that stage? But I don't know what God has given you. You might look in the mirror and say, yuck. You might, or you might think, well, God's got a sense of humor creating this face. And I'd say, yes, I certainly has. I do too. But I just want to give you a few things of what you do have in your human body. In your two eyes, there are 100 million receptors. 100 million receptors. In your ears, you have 24,000 fibers that gently vibrate in each ear. 24,000. That's the creation of one ear. You have 500 muscles. You've got 200 bones. You've got 10 kilometres of nerve fibres throughout your body. Your heart beats at around about 36 million beats a year. That's an incredible pump. 36 million beats per year. You've got 100 kilometres of veins and arteries and tubing. Your heart pumps 600,000 gallons of blood per year through you. Your lungs filter oxygen through 600 million pockets of folded flesh. And in that brain of yours, there are 10 billion neurons, and within those cells are 1,000 billion protein molecules. You know, the human body is absolute perfection. There is no computer that will ever be made that will compare with you. That's what God has created, and we just don't treat it and give it, you know, the respect that it should have. I believe, you know, it's an incredible, we are walking, talking miracles. That is, but also, the other side of it, the fact is that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. In your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And I don't know if God always approves of the temple that we are setting up for him. We know he looks at the heart, you know, but we know we are body, mind, and spirit. And we can spend sometimes a lifetime in training the mind and the spirit and the heart, but we neglect the body. Most guys give more attention to their motor car than to their body. It's a neglected item in life. And they just get fatter and fatter and bigger, or, you know, some guys, two flights of stairs, and they're puffing, they need a 2-minute rest at the top of a few stairs. And they might only be 50 or 60. That's not good. In Romans 12, verse 1, it says, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. Is your body holy and pleasing to God? I can't answer some of these questions, and I'm not here to put a guilt trip on you guys. I'm here to see if I can just sensitize a little part of you that will say, what do I need to do? What should I? Should I be looking at this body of mine? And I'm saying yes. I believe many people go to heaven way before their time and before they're used by date, because they have not used the principles that God's given us of how to live. And in the 1 Corinthians 6, verse 15, it says, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Now, that's pretty straight, isn't it? Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? 1 Corinthians 6, verse 15. So we should all be challenged by God's words to look after our bodies. I mean, your weight, for instance, your weight is the right weight for most men between the ages of about 18 and 21. That's the weight you should be for the rest of life. That's the weight you should be. I have to admit, I am 2 kilograms heavier than I was at the Olympic Games. I'm sorry about that, Lord. I was 59 and a half kg at the Rome Olympics and Tokyo Olympics, and I'm now 61 and a half. But if you want to know what your right weight is, that's about it, guys. It's about the way the weight should be, about what you're 18 and 21 is about the right weight for you. And the rest is called fat. It's a terrible 3-letter word, and we're addicted to it. We love sugar, and we love fat. many men go into a denial that they even need to do something about those bodies. We think we're bulletproof. We think it's too hard. We usually say we're too busy. We haven't got time for that. And we have all sorts of excuses, like asking a man to a full gospel dinner. You know, some have got every excuse in the book. But there is a thing called prevention. If we look after our bodies, we are preventing the things to happen to it that will happen to it if we don't do anything. We neglect ourselves. I read about a survey recently, and they asked people to list their most important assets and possessions. Everyone started off usually with their house or their car. Occasionally someone put their wife. Quite a truthful person. I wonder if your most important possession could be your health. Your health is one of the greatest assets you'll have in your life that allows you to do God's work and to do things far better. I'm talking about a quality of life. A quality of life that can be improved by exercise and nutrition by 20%. I asked God after I retired from international competition whether I should continue to run, whether I should go out and spend the time training and doing things. Even when I didn't train, I still got out and ran 100 kilometres a week with it. And through those, since I retired, and I think I've won, I don't know, 12 national titles, and I've run all over the world, and at 50 I'm still running 2 hours 30 for a marathon. And 54 and 2:44 for the Christchurch Marathon, doing things because I got out at 6 o'clock in the morning and hit the roads and the hills and the golf courses. And I just used to love getting on our local golf course, Mungikiki, and I still do. I go down the fairway at 100 kilometres an hour, yeah, more or less, arms out like a hang glider, and I say, yippee, yippee. I mean, it's great at 70 to do that. And I don't, you know, most people have not got the quality of life that God wants them to have. And I ask God, is it worth my time? Should I be doing it? And he says, yes, Barry, you do it. You do it. Because we know that Paul said exercises benefit little. And, you know, he's making a good point there. It's far more important for your spiritual growth than your bodily growth. And that the spirit, of course, is more important. But God reminded me that we should not do nothing and neglect ourselves. And I asked God, I said, now, if I do this, what is the benefit to me? And he said, your health benefit is around 20%. It's a 20% benefit on the quality of your life. So I just tell you guys, that goes into everything of your life, in your work, in the hours that you work. A fit man needs 1 hour less sleep a night than an unfit person. You're capable of doing more work, you have more time. If you spend half an hour a day running or walking or cycling, you've still got half an hour bonus because you're sleeping half an hour less at night. But the unfit body needs more sleep. So it's absolutely, now if we're going to have bodies that, you know, we can be proud of for God, we've got to do something about it. We've got to, and that's why I'm here, I suppose, to challenge some of you guys to turn some of those bad habits perhaps into good ones. Your health is your wealth, you know, would be one of my thoughts. Your wealth is not in the size of your bank account, because God could be calling you home tonight. And it's like the relative that went to the lawyer who just lost the rich relation and said to the lawyer, how much did he leave? How much did he leave? And the lawyer said, everything. Everything. No, we don't take $1 with us. There's nothing we can take with us. We come with nothing, sort of thing. See, so the wealth and that we have through health and exercise, etc., in this life, is really a decision of the mind, and we're not good at that. I admit that, us guys, don't we? You know, we can see a cream donut or a beautiful mince pie or whatever, and we're sold. We're gone. Yes, you know, it's like it's, some guys like that with women. They tell me, but no. Now you have to program your minds to change, and bad habits from bad to into good habits. You know, I heard Lydiard on the radio a couple of years ago, and he was telling his story that when he was 27, he was smoking 20 to 40 cigarettes a day. He was playing rugby and training for that. But he went out running with a few guys, and he found, much to his horror, that he was totally, really unfit. The runners just showed him up completely. And he changed his rugby into running. You know, and about 7 or 8 years later, he became the national marathon champion of New Zealand and represented New Zealand at the Commonwealth Games. But he said, the first thing I looked at was the cigarettes. He said, here was I smoking. I was trying to be an athlete. And I was smoking at least 20 cigarettes a day. He said, so I decided one night that had to go. He said, I tossed them in the rubbish bin and never smoked another cigarette in my life. It is just a decision of the mind. See, God's given us a mind that we can take and make decisions and take control. And he did it and has never smoked another cigarette. Now, you've got to program your mind to change. It's just that, a decision of the mind. Now, there is a fallacy that we can get all the vitamins and minerals from the food we eat. And it is a fallacy. It used to be, in my day, people used to grow everything, for instance. Gardens were full of vitamins and minerals. Today, the earth is stripped in New Zealand, and most market gardeners will admit that. I've seen some surveys taken about 2 years ago, when every fruit and vegetable was compared to a same test done 40 years ago, and every fruit and vegetable was reduced from between 15 and 60% of its vitamins and minerals because the soil is not being replaced. So you can't rely on stuff you buy today to producing the energy and the levels that we should have lived to 120 years. The only reason we're not living 120 years is lack of exercise and nutrition. That's the reason. We kill ourselves by not doing the right thing. So vitamin minerals, for those that are on them, I say congratulations. Anyone that's over 40 that doesn't take a good multivitamin tablet has got to be dumb or stupid. That's how much we need them. That's how much we should have them. Because that will give you a multitude of those other things. There are all sorts of other things that are helpful as well. I mean, the ancient Greeks in their time, they taught the world that, you know, about this wheel that had four spokes to it: the physical, the mental, the social, and the spiritual. Now, most people over about 21 neglect the physical completely. And most people we know neglect the spiritual completely. So they do their mental work and they keep the brain working to a point, and they love to socialize, because I reckon two of the gods of New Zealand are entertainment and sport. Those are two of the gods we worship in New Zealand through TVs and videos and sporting things. And I'm a sportsman saying that, and I recognize that. But if we want to live longer, and we want to live better, we want to live happier and more joyful for the Lord, we need to look after this temple of the Holy Spirit. We need to know what the ancient Greeks know, that 25% of life was physical. They put it 25, 25, 25, 25. And they said the wheel with the four spokes through it was just about unbreakable. Three spokes would be less breakable. Two spokes, the wheel would easily break. But the four foundations for the ancient Greeks, and they were the brightest, most intelligent people of the world at that time. Like, there are three main factors associated, like, with cancer, with heart disease, obesity, prostate troubles, diabetes, kidney stones, hemorrhoids, constipation. They all come under the heading of lack of exercise, poor diet, and mental stress. Everyone knows that stress will cause sickness. We all know that. It's hard. We've got to have tension. We've got to have worries, of course, in a say, but not worries. We should have concerns. So I'll just point out, those are the three things. I mean, there is a hereditary factor in every one of you guys' lives that is hard to beat. We inherit the best and the worst of our parents. If we have a family tradition that die of heart attacks, the granddad and uncles and father died before 60, do you know what the percentage is that you'll die before 62? It's very, very high. So it's all the more reason if you have a hereditary factor in there. But virtually 100% of people die from nutritional deficiencies. That's virtually 100%. Some of us have heard a tape called Dead Doctors Don't Lie. And that guy's got three doctorates. And he's done autopsies on about 3,000 animals and a couple of thousand humans, and every one of them died of a nutritional deficiency. That's how much we need the vitamins and the minerals that come out of our food or supplements. We do need that. So the challenge for us is to take our life, you know, and get control of it, really, in that area. And that means we've perhaps got to do something. I mean, I won all those championships and run all these great races around the world between the ages of 30 and 70. And that's just to show you, you know, I'm not dead yet. Last year I went to Invercargill. I ran in the national 10,000 metres at 69 years of age. And in the M65, I got a gold in the 10,000 metres and a silver in the 5,000 metres, just to prove to you guys that it's not age that counts. If I can do that and I can be still running and go out and run tomorrow, I'll be running at 5 o'clock tonight, you know, at 70. Okay, you know, I don't know what your excuse is. But I'm saying it's time some of you got off your backsides and did something. Now, you don't have to run or to train like me. All you've got to train for is to get sort of fit in a way that is a healthy fit, not an Olympian's fitness or anything like that. You don't have to go and run and train and run 10K a day or anything like that. What you've got to do first is called moving. Moving. That's the most important word perhaps I can say today. Yeah. I say, if you don't use it, you lose it. It's that simple. And I've got an old Indian guy that's been walking around Mount Roskill for 20 years now. You know, he must be about 80 with it. And I've seen him at 8 o'clock in the morning, and I've seen him still walking at 11 o'clock in the morning. I don't know if he walks for 3 to 4 hours every morning, I don't know. But he's been doing it for 20 years every day, and he's probably about 50 times fitter than the average guy here is, because he gets up and does something. I think he's probably been retired for 20 years, this guy, but he does something. But what we have to do, if you just want a fitness that would be equal to helping you to live to 120, you've probably got to move about four times a week for about 30 minutes. That's all. 2 hours a week would get you just as fit as virtually an Olympian, but you're not fit to race. You're fit to live. And that's what counts. It brings your blood pressure down. It lowers your cholesterol levels. That's what exercise do. I've had doctors send me people who've had nervous and mental and physical breakdowns and said, Barry, would you help these people with a running program because I don't have any drugs that will help them as much as daily exercise. Now, when a Christian doctor does that, something goes clink, clink in here, and I say, yes, that's right. In the last few years, I've advised three doctors on nutrition because they are associated with sport. So the doctors don't know all that stuff, that sometimes a Brian Mayall or a Jeff, you know, we got Jeff Julian here today too, one of my, you know, Olympic contemporaries. And he was here this morning. You hear Jeff still? He's in the way. Oh, no. Oh, here he is. That's right. No, but all you need to do is saying is four times a week, about 30 minutes of brisk walking or cycling or swimming. You have to just get yourself, you start with 2 minutes, you start with five, you do anything you can. But you just move for, you know, up to 30 minutes. When you can do four times a week of 30 minutes, you won't believe the benefit that you'll feel. And this applies, you know, to every aspect of your life.
Can I interrupt for a moment? Is there some car lights on or something?
Yes. Toyota
P1
or
PL
2335.
Do you own a Toyota? What colour?
Doesn't say. P1 or
PL 2335. Go on, turn the lights off. Sorry, Barry.
Okay. Yeah, we're getting close. I just better check my time.
It is 2:12 p.m.
Thank you. When you get to my age, you know, your eyesight's not so good. Yeah. I'm sure God laughs at us too. That's a running watch that I can use in the dark, and I just press the button and it tells me what the time is and how long I've been running. It's a stopwatch and a watch, and it talks to you. It's a talking watch, originally made for blind people. Yeah. So anyway, one of your enemies in life is called fat. And that's probably your number one thing. If anyone here is overweight, all they have to do is control their fat. My wife had a war with fat for some years, and about a year ago, she decided she'd attack instead of being defensive. She's got eyes like a male that love every bit of food they see. You know, I've never seen a calorie I didn't love, I suppose, but, resisting them is pretty tough. But if you control your fat to 30 grams a day, you will be like she has. In the last 12 months, she's lost 17 kilograms just by controlling her fat intake. Because and that's without exercise. That's without any exercise. So her recommendations, of course, is after, you know, perhaps even in the early days, you don't worry too much about the exercise if you're overweight. Get your weight under control, lower that fat intake into you to 30 grams a day, which means checking what you eat. You know, fish and chips, one helping, is four meals of fat, just for instance. Pizzas, KFC and all that, you can wave goodbye to that. You can eat all... Do you remember in Genesis it talks about nuts and vegetables and fruit and grains? That's what we need to live on, really. And then God gave us meat, and he said it's all okay to eat, but, you know, everything is not good for us, perhaps, but most of the stuff he said in Genesis is absolutely perfect for today. But we've got to have a war against fat. You've got to have a war against sugar. You've got to have a war against white bread. They are absolutely useless and hopeless for you. They do absolutely nothing for you but just fill little cavities inside of you. And you could eat 10 cans of vegetable soup a day and you've put in about 4 grams of fat. 4 grams and you've got 30. So it's a matter of choosing what you eat. If you eat good stuff, there's no problem. But fat is your number one enemy. It's got a brain of its own to protect itself. How many of you guys know that? You've got a brain that works so tough, it works against you. It protects itself. It goes into warfare when you start to chop it out of your life. And it gets cunning and works against you for that. But there are 90 vitamins and minerals and you need and amino acids and fatty acids, and you need the lot. You need them. It's not just one thing will help you. I'll quickly just go through some of the things that will help you of those 90. And before your brain, if anyone's losing brain things and their memory's going, etc., the two most helpful things that we know of is first vitamin E. Vitamin E helps to restore brain cells and improve them. And also the herb ginkgo biloba. Ginkgo biloba will improve memory by 10 to 15%. That's a scientifically proven point. Holmes had it on his show a few years ago about ginkgo. And those are the figures that he gave. But anything for the brain, it's vitamin E, and ginkgo helps that. If anyone has varicose veins, what that shows is they are short on copper. They're short on copper. Varicose veins are the arterial walls, you know, veins and arteries that start protruding like bicycle tubes. And when they get weak, and if they burst, that's called a ruptured aneurysm. Now, Bob Ferguson will tell you all about that because it nearly killed him. 99% of people die with a ruptured aneurysm in the brain, and he lived. That man is a walking miracle for God, that God saved his life. It's copper deficiency, either hereditary or in your diet, that causes that. So we need copper for that. You'll find copper in liver, in milk, in pure apple juice, and in vegetables. We need heaps of copper. You know, you've got to eat heaps of that sort of stuff. Blood pressure, you need calcium and magnesium and vitamin C. If people got high blood pressure, they needn't go onto drugs. If they use heaps of that, their blood pressure will come down. Calcium and magnesium and vitamin C are the most helpful things for lowering blood pressure naturally. Doctors don't talk a lot about vitamins, minerals, because they're in a drug world. They're not, yeah. I had to talk a doctor a few years ago into taking B-complex because he's burning the candle at both ends. And that's the next one I'll mention, if you like. Energy levels. People who don't get enough sleep and work too much, they need B-complex, as if it's going out, you know, just like nothing else around. They need B-complex and they need iron. B-complex, but is the key one, that's your energy levels come from the B vitamins, B12 and B6. So you need B-complex for energy. And married men over 50, I'll absolutely recommend it will help your married life. I'm not allowed to tell the women that because they don't want husbands energized. One woman told me off one day after I told her, I didn't want you to tell my husband that. So the single men, forget it. Married men, get your B-complex tomorrow. If you've got an itchy back, an itchy spine, that's a sign you're short on iron. You're short on iron if you have an itchy back. So if you have cramps, for instance, cramps is one of the most common things in the book. Just calcium and magnesium will take away and fix all cramps. Calcium and magnesium will fix cramps. With calcium, you've got to have magnesium for absorption, and they work together. So just to take a heap of calcium for some of the things, some people, does help short term, but long term it's no good, because the calcium does not get absorbed. So calcium and magnesium work together in equal quantities of them. So those are some things that just might help you. Because cramps, I helped my mother. She had cramps when she was about 70. Within a couple of days, she's had no more cramps when I put her onto calcium and magnesium. That's that good. Some of nature's good things, just to wind up, I've said to her about bread. If you want good bread, you eat wholemeal or rye. They're the two best breads on the market, and I suppose number three would be the full grain breads. But wholemeal, hasn't been refined. And the rye has B vitamins in it, so that's what you want for that. Brazil nuts, if you want to have nature's health food for heart attacks, it's Brazil nuts. If you want to prevent cancer, it's almonds. Almonds will help prevent cancer. And if you want to lower your cholesterol, it's walnuts. Walnuts. So, you know, God's given us these all these things, and we just don't understand them and know about them. So, guys, you know, I've got a Bible here which tells me, you know, basic instructions before leaving Earth is what we call the Bible, don't we? But I've got the New Zealand Nutrition and Health, and that's my other Bible. I've got sort of like two Bibles. So the challenge is for you guys, you know, to do something and not neglect the temple of this Holy Spirit that God's given you, and just do something. You know, God loves each one of you. I've shared with you what I think of you guys. You know, I love you. I can hug the full gospel businessmen like nobody else on earth. And they're a wonderful bunch. And we need each other. But we want each other not to be falling apart, getting sick, and not going our full time. And the challenge is, how many, can we have a reunion for all those when we reach 120, perhaps, sometime? Yeah. Right? and still be healthy and well. So thank you for the time. Thank you for listening, and God bless you.